Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still loving.
Over 105 years ago, Robert Ripley went ahead and created the first ever comic strip of Ripley's Believe It or Not. He tested the people's minds as far as what to believe, whether everything was true or not, and giving us the ultimate in very strange and bizarre truth. Images. I am exploring this for our second episode in honor of the 105th anniversary of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And we will be going from the odd to the odd to the odd to the odd as we're delving more into modern times. We'll be starting in 1997 and finishing up just a couple years ago. So, without further ado, welcome to Sunday Night, a.k.a. Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem. This was supposed to be Deranged December. Now it is, I guess, Deranged Both. But ultimately, let me go ahead and get some people into here. Hey, sweet. How you doing?
week? Do we have you?
Hey.
I know you're there, Wayne. I can't hear Sweet Pea anymore. Deb, do I get you?
No, that's Hatter.
Oh, Hatter. Hey, bud. Supposedly
hey.
It says that Sweet is on the line, but I can't hear her, even though she was talking to me earlier.
Well, with her dog, she might be on mute.
She might have
muted herself.
No, I was on mute. I'm there so sorry. I was actually looking at a report on my grandson. My son just brought it to me about him, his reading percentile. He's like beyond above and all that. So, he's doing some amazing things. So it's incredible.
All right. Well, I want to thank.
But hi, welcome to Murder and Mayhem. I'm very excited to be here. Your things you put up there were crazy, and I'm excited to talk about them tonight.
Absolutely, want to thank Hatter for writing that song, and Shout Even Shy for singing it for us, and want to thank AP for sponsoring a team of voices. And everybody else is involved. So we are now on air. We're going. I apologize. I ended up getting pulled aside here. And thank goodness Wayne was around to give me a call. So, and now let's get started on this. And we will start in, let's start in 1997. December 15th, 1997. There was, let me see, Les Cuevas. She had just given birth to her first daughter. She had a couple older sons, but she had just given birth to her first daughter. And they were enjoying a wonderful time. She named her Delamar. And they were having some nice family time just after, it was around Christmas time that they were enjoying it. It was December 15th in 1997 when suddenly tragedy hit. And it was the strangest thing. Delamar's father was working on a car for his cousin who went inside, and the cousin and Cuevas, Luz, I should say, were talking how they both had children recently. And everything was going good and wonderful. And suddenly they got into that moment where it becomes uncomfortable. You can't continue on in the conversation or anything like that. And suddenly they heard almost what seemed like a crash upstairs. And Delamar's father's cousin said, I will go ahead and tell the father. And she told Luz to get everybody else out. Well, when Luz went upstairs after she got her two sons out, she found out that the fire itself was coming from Delamar's room, and that it was just a crazy, crazy fire that no one could stop. And ultimately, when the cops showed up, they went ahead and declared that there were no more survivors and that Delamar had died. Even though they did not find a body, they said, well, it must have totally cremated her body. They left it at that. Then the story does not stop there, though. In 2004, this was 7 years afterwards, Luz, was she went to a party, and for a neighborhood child. And what she ended up doing is that she saw this one girl at the party, and she was like saying to herself, the girl's 6 years old. That's about the age of what my daughter would have been. And you know what? She kind of looks a lot like me. And she told the girl to come over to her. And she went ahead and said, hey, sweetie, you got some gum in your hair. And what ended up happening is she ended up taking a few strands of her hair and tucking them away. And then she went over to the police and asked for a DNA test. And when the DNA test came back, it found out that that was his daughter. It was Delma. It was Luz's daughter. What happened is that the cousin of Delmar's father actually miscarried in the hospital. And what she ended up doing is she ended up going ahead and planned the whole fire and everything like that and the abduction of Delmar and started raising Delmar as her own child just because of the fact that she lost her own. She just couldn't bear not having a child of her own. And after 6 years, Delmar and Luz were once again brought back together. And I think that that right there is quite a crazy, crazy story all around. So I'm looking at what everybody wrote for. Everybody wrote for something different, which is awesome. And I'm glad that you guys did that. I'm checking the studio again. Hey, sweet, what do you think? What do you think about Delmar's situation?
I think it's absolutely crazy about some of the things that went on. I read, and I don't know if it's true, that the first time that it happened, the police announced that the baby had died in the fire, which I thought was really weird. I don't know if that was for protection of the family or what had happened, but that's one of the rumors that was going around. And then...
You still there, okay, sorry.
You blanked
out there for a second.
That's okay. And then I thought, how absolutely did the stars align, or how brazen was this woman just to flaunt this six-year-old daughter in front of them? Like, they'll never know. Like, this kid is theirs. And how did they not know? See, I can't comprehend how this woman had a miscarriage. Nobody knew, and all of a sudden she has a baby again. So, like, I don't get all of that. So I have so many questions, like, how did she do it? I understand maybe the why, but I'm struggling with the how. Who didn't know? Was the husband involved? Was the other family members involved? But I really, that bond, like, there had to be something more than, oh, you look like me. There had to be something about that child where he's like, that's my kid. You know, that parental bond.
Yeah.
And I think that's
mother's
fabulous.
Intuition.
Yeah. That,
mother's,
you know,
intuition,
that's my kid. I know that's my kid. I'm going to find out if that's my kid. And I thought that was amazing that they connected. You were taken at a party and I found you at a party. So there's so many cool things about this case. And of course the happy ending that mother and child got back together. But then again, how confused is that child? You know, she had already bonded with this woman. She was taken at 10 days old. She's 6 years old. You know, a lot of formalities and everything were with this other woman. So, I'm sure there was a lot of counseling and all that going on, but wow, how lucky for her not to be with that other crazy woman.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it took them a while, from what I understand, to get them back together as a family, you know, and that's completely understandable. So, Hatter, what did you think about that wonderful little thing?
Yeah, so this is the one I wrote about. Yeah, she kept saying, the mother kept saying that she knew her child was still alive. She knew it. So much that her family was questioning her ability to accept that, you know, she was gone. She kept saying that, you know, she knew she was alive. And that's the way I took the story after hearing it. But
that's great.
Yeah, she was raised speaking English, and the mother speaks broken English, speaks Spanish, right?
Something like that, I believe so. Yeah, I believe you're right. And so before I get Wayne to comment, let's go ahead and let you read your poem, and then we'll let Wayne comment on everything. I went ahead and put it on the board. I think
oh, okay,
you put the wrong link in the topic, and I found it on your page. Don't worry about it.
Oh, did I? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You put the one for Sky's show.
Oh, I did. I did. Yep, I did. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Sorry. I got the right one for you.
Okay, thanks. Okay. At Christmas, there'll even be more. There'll even be more. It was like this. Children taken, leaving no trace by those among us who hide their face, are in search of something they know not theirs, raising namesakes as if they care. What if your child comes back but speaks in a foreign way, like things you know, not a fault after day? Exes are always stealing your stuff. You finally get tired of it. So what do you do? When someone looks like you and you feel there's something's afoot, gather the hair to be compared to prove it takes one look. Cousins might be uncles if you think you're right. Your aunts won't. Cousins might, but uncles don't. If you think you're right, your aunties won't. But if you got a stranger among you with nothing to compare but looks like you, take a strand of their cut-uncut hair, find a place that will compare. You might find a couple of signs that your cousins are your brothers and your steps are the exes from another mother. Ask your teacher if you know the truth, if your mom's your sister, your auntie Ruth. Just think about all the relatives they say you're akin to, twice what you had before. Double the presents your birthday might bring, and I'll bet at Christmas there'll even be more. Sort of lost the check.
Oh, man, I like this. I like this a lot. I'm going to let Wayne comment first, and then I got to do a few other things. But, Wayne, why don't you comment on the poem and the story about Delamar?
Yeah, the story I can kind of bring the story. That's happened a whole lot during my lifetime. I've heard a lot of women go into hospitals and steal babies, and they've done a lot of, they attack women on the street and take their babies. So I can see the woman take a woman to step a fire and all that. But I wonder what happened to the little girl. How did she like having new parents all of a sudden? Did she go through it all right, or did she have health problems, or did she just go back happy and talk back to her mother she didn't know, or that's kind of what I'd be
worried
about.
Story says they're doing fine.
Oh, they're doing fine? Well, that's amazing. That's good there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They actually made a movie out of it and everything. The movie was on Lifetime. It's called Little Girl Lost.
So she came out pretty good then. That's good. I'm glad they got back together. And the poem was spot on. They went through the whole story pretty much on cue. And you did a good job with your rhyming. Good job on the read. And enjoyed the poem too. It's a good story.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there were some clever lines in there that I absolutely loved. Like, cousins might, but uncles don't. If things are right, your aunties won't. I love that line because bottom line is that's kind of who took her was pretty much her aunt. Grabbed the hole, or it was like an aunt or a second cousin or something like that. But I think that is so clever, and then you put the comparison of the hair in there and got that going as well. And I think that through that DNA testing, when they did that, that it actually turned into something perfect in that situation. So you did so amazing in that. I really, really loved it. Sweet, what do you think of Hatter's poem? Unmute, Sweet.
I am. I agree exactly what you said. It's like, is your uncle your dad, your uncle, you're married to your aunt or your grandfather. It's so complicated that it's just perfect for this little girl, because is your brother your uncle or your brother your actual brother, or is he your cousin of your mother of your sister? It would be so complicated, and yet who are you, and where did you come from, and now you have to know who your true family is. It's mind-boggling, and that's what your poem is, and of course in beautiful Hatter rhyme. And I think you did a fabulous job just trying to sew this all together. That might be in this little child's head trying to figure it all out. Like, wait, weren't you my uncle, and now you're my cousin? And wait, weren't you my aunt, and now you're my mother's? Wait, how did that work? And who's in prison for what? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little confused. I wonder what if that's a story she's going to be telling, or is it something she's going to hide?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You put my cousin or brother, my stepbrother, in mother's in prison. That's not my mother. Now my mother is your aunt. I'm so confused.
Yeah. Well, they even mentioned that the relatives of the girl that took the baby, either they knew and didn't say anything. Because they do the miscarriage, apparently.
Yeah, somebody had.
They didn't say anything for 6 years. Something was weird.
Yeah, there had to have been something off there. You're absolutely right. So, I think that you did a wonderful job painting that whole picture, and I think that went great. So for our next story, we're going over to West Yorkshire, England. How many of you back in, say, the 2008 period remembered the disappearance of Madeline McCann?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yep. They were, her family was in a vacation in Portugal when she went missing on May in 2007, and they haven't been able to find her since. And it was ended up being a worldwide story and everything like that. Well, in February of 2008, a similar story happened when a 9-year-old out of Dewsbury, West Yorkshire, England, suddenly was reported missing. Her name was Shannon Louise Matthews. And this became a huge story in Great Britain and the absolute huge, huge search for her. And they searched over and over, and they were comparing this to McCann. And what happened is the cops started to create websites for it, and people were raising money for it, trying to find information. And they created the rewards to help find her and everything. Well, ultimately, there was a tip given to the police department. And in March of 2008, almost a month after she disappeared, cops went on this tip, and they ended up finding her alive. Now, what they ended up finding her alive, where they ended up finding her alive, was the house of a person by the name of Bately Carr. It was a place called Bately Carr. The house belonged to Michael Donovan. Michael Donovan just happened to be the cousin of Craig Meehan, who was the boyfriend of Shannon Matthews' mother, Karen Matthews. And after police interrogated Donovan, they found out that this was all a plot, that what they were trying to do is get enough reward money piled up to where the uncle, Michael Donovan, would eventually say that he found the girl and he ends up claiming the reward money. And the whole thing turned around, and they ended up getting arrested for false imprisonment and kidnapping. And it was an absolute insane turn of events that absolutely shocked the United Kingdom when it happened. But each of them were convicted. The convictions were Karen Matthews, they were Michael Donovan, and they were also boyfriend, Craig Meehan. All of them were tried and found guilty of different crimes in connection with that. And Shannon was taken into custody, and it was an absolute insane and sad event. But it happened, and it's just another part of the crazy world that we live in. Sweet, what do you think about this story of Shannon Matthews?
This one actually kind of made me mad. I just, you know, there are a lot of people that actually go through that more than any, you know, one person going through it, let alone the hundreds that actually go through it a year. To do it and know you're doing it and to buy the empathy of the people that are working hard or out there looking for your person and to literally bring any doubt to people that might want to give again and go, oh, but are they fooling me? Are they screwing with me? Do they just want my money? I think is such a sad situation that I'm glad they both had prison time because they deserve it. Because there are so many kids that are tortured or, you know, whether it's from a parent, an uncle, or whoever, you know, people want to give, people want to help. And to falsify that is just, I mean, it's just so, I don't want to, I'm trying to look for the word I want. It's almost like the ultimate child abuse because you put your own child, I mean, as a mother, for you to put your own child in that kind of danger, I personally think you should, like, death sentence. That's your child. You are a mother or a father. Your life is for them. It is not for you to put them up like, hey, my child's up for auction. Anybody want to bid on it? I just have no tolerance for that or no understanding of that or no empathy for that. Nothing. I just put her in the guillotine. Bye. You're a waste of space on the earth. Did I make myself clear enough?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay.
It was just a sad event, and you know, the way that they tried to use the daughter to gain money, you know, that they have no scruples whatsoever. Hatter, what do you think of this little story?
Yeah, it tends to make you mad. I agree with Sweets. The ability to make a plan like that throws out the defense of mental illness. try to get a lighter. Yeah, lighter thing. Because yeah, you planned it out. Yeah, people do for money.
I know, it's so sad. It is absolutely sad. Wayne, What'd you think?
Yeah. So did they found the first girl that was lost, or they just found the second one that was taken? They didn't find the first girl, did they?
No, they have never found McCann. No.
Yeah, I remember that. I had a story. I think they thought some people from Portugal or somewhere kidnapped her, or some from Libya or somewhere kidnapped her, took her away. I don't know if she was still alive. Really, it's crazy what people do for money. They'll do anything for money. They'll steal, they'll kidnap, they'll do about anything. But that's kind of bad to steal and take away a kid like that. It's kind of, I think I'm a little sweet pea. I'd have to just execute and get it over with. Anyway, I'm painting tonight. I'm going to be listening to y'all. I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of comments because I'm not painting. And I don't get paint on my phone and everything. So I'm listening, more or less. It's okay.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to go over this next one very carefully because this one was absolutely – they're all insane, but this one was extremely – this guy's a freaking genius, a genius. A new 13 languages, but he was living at home with his parents in Russia. And ultimately, there was just some strange, odd things going on, and this one guy lived with his parents, and his parents were taking a look around the house when he started making these dolls, and these dolls were real life size dolls. They were very interesting. They were 26 girls and women, and they were all between the ages of 3 and 29, and they were ultimately, when the police came in and figured this out, they found out that these dolls were actually the bodies of women that were mummified, and he turned them into dolls. What he thought in his mind, they diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia. He believed that he was being called by a higher power to bring these women and girls back to life. He believed that he could hear them from the grave. There was a couple of societies. The Druids in Ireland, the Celtics, and the Yakuts in Russia. That what happened was, they believed that if you laid on the grave of a dead person, you could hear them talking. So that's what he would do. He would look up in his local newspaper and find a recently deceased, pretty much child or woman, and he would lay on their grave and try to talk to them. And he believed that some of them wanted to live and didn't want to die, so he would dig up their bodies and then turn them into these dolls and mummify them and use mummification techniques from the ancient Egyptians and stuff like that, and then wrap them up with techniques of making dolls. And he believed that he was going to be able to bring them back to life either with science or black magic, one or the other. That was his belief. And like I said, they ended up finding 26 of these dolls in his possession, which is absolutely insanity in my mind. But ultimately, this guy was a linguist. He was a freaking genius. He was a philosopher, a historian, and he was working at a major, major place. And It was crazy. It was crazy.
Wasn't he? Didn't he put buttons in their eyes when he was using the faces?
I believe, like I said, he used the techniques for making dolls, and to try to make them look. Here's one thing he believed. He believed that if he created the bodies to look like dolls, that when they came back to life, they would be more realistic and believable as living human beings. That was his belief, and his story was absolutely insane, but it was all part of his mental diagnosis, and he's been in a psychiatric hospital ever since. They do not believe he is fit for society in Russia. So they have kept him there since all of this happened. In 2000, I think, like I said, 2011. So he was arrested in 2011, and he's been in an insane asylum ever since. It just baffles my mind when people do something like this. But like I said, it happens. It happens. Sweet. What did you think about Anatoly Moskvin?
I actually wrote my poem on this guy. This guy actually fascinates me. They basically say that this goes back to when he was, quote unquote, forced to kiss a dead Irish girl during a Celtic ritual. Someone held his head down to her face and told him to kiss the girl. And then he kind of like snapped at that age. So it kind of starts there is what he says. And so he became fascinated with the Druids and different languages and different cultures and everything like that. So it goes from there, but obviously it goes beyond just his talents. I mean, he's got this brilliant mind, obviously at a very young age. He just absorbs, but he absorbs too much. And he just goes deeper and deeper and deeper into nutville. And, he believes he's got this godlike theory that he can do what he wants to do, and he can rapture these women from their graves.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Hatter, what do you think about this gentleman?
This guy's a sicko. If I remember the story right, the body parts started smelling. Even he would start smelling that bad. But the parents, what they think, it was just part of. I can't remember what they had said that didn't raise the question of why it smells like it did.
The parents thought it was a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, some hobby. Wow, 26. Yeah, he was just digging up dead people then, right? He didn't take anybody.
Yeah,
alive.
No, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was tried and convicted for desecration of the graves, and also he wasn't convicted for any of this. Like I said, he was considered unfit due to insanity. So the schizophrenia is pretty much the diagnosis and the conviction on this individual. Wayne.
Wow.
What do you think about Anatoly?
I think he did have a hobby. It was his hobby. So the parents are right. It is a kind of a sick hobby to have. But sometimes smart people shouldn't be alone by themselves too long studying. You get weird things in their head. I'll be more outgoing, more extrovert, and that'd be thinking all this crazy shit. So he was crazy for sure.
Absolutely. So we have several poems out there that were written about this individual. Sweet, I'm going to go ahead and let you drop yours in the board first. And I wrote also about this individual. So we'll read a few poems. Deb also wrote about him. So
okay, I'm going to read Deb's poem, just FYI, so if you want to kind of filter, like push hers down to the bottom or kind of filters or whatever.
I was going to do yours and then mine and then hers.
Okay, because she's not feeling well, so
no problem.
She asked me to read that. All right. All right, let me get mine up there. Sorry, my computer's a little slow. But, yeah, he was something to behold, was he not?
Really,
and in fact, he visited his parents, and no one seemed to think. I think his parents were something else, too, you know. But hopefully my work will just kind of go, oh, okay, there you go. Because he just fascinated me, what he did and what he wanted to do. So, yeah, this is Dead Dollies. Come on, send. Not set. I know.
There it is.
Finally. Okay, finally. All right. Dead Dollies. TikTok hands go around and around. He was obsessing about a kiss on a dead girl's smile. Genius mind slips on making dead dolls appear alive. Intentional purification to avoid solidification, impressed by his greatness from graves. He raptured his ladies in waiting to rest in peace. He knew that he loved them as he heard the pitter-patter little feet skitter-scatter across the floor. He heard them giggles whispering by the door. Watching nighttime stories play in monochrome shades, all cracking smiles with perfect eyes and pigtail braids. All would be perfect once again in a few days. Mama and Papa, blinded by his brains, looked past the insane. He shouted, "Don't start a ruckus, just sit back and behave." He scolds his bad dolly as they carry him off to play and home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like this a lot. Like I said, this is a kind of one that it just really splits my brain. But I love the way that you put it, because you dug deeper into the story itself and brought a little bit more of what we needed to look at. I love Mama and Papa, blinded by his brains. Yeah, this dude was a freaking genius. He was a lecturer in Celtic studies at a university. He worked at the Institute of Foreign Languages. He was a full. He wrote several books, spoke 13 languages. He translator, just unbelievable, unbelievable. He was also a journalist, and often contributed to local newspapers. He was an expert in a bunch of things. So he was like, this is a man who was just a freaking genius, and he actually inspires what the next show is going to be about, which after we get done talking about this gentleman, I'm going to let you guys know what it's about. But you did absolutely wonderful. And that's probably my favorite line about the whole poem was how his parents were blinded by his brains. They thought that he was just making dolls. They all thought they were dolls, nothing more, and that it was his hobby that he started doing. So this was, even though we know and we found out that it's a lot more. So great job, Sweet.
Thank you.
Hatter, what did you think of Sweet's poem there? I can barely hear you, Hatter.
Hear ya, yeah.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I like the verse, he knew that he loved him as he heard the pitter-patter of little feet skitter-scatter across the floor, hear the giggles whispering by the door. Yeah, very well done. Describes it very good. I'd like to know what his IQ was. Jesus.
I would, too. And Wayne, what do you think?
I'll stand up. I didn't get to read along with the poem. It sounded good. She did a good job reading it. Hey, sweet. And I don't know what's up with this guy. He did so much stuff. Well, how do you have time to do all this embalming and make mummies? And so he had a whole lot of time on his hands to be doing all this work he's been doing. So I don't know. He must have been a busy character. So I don't know. Stay busy.
He was definitely a busy character, but he also had the mind to encompass everything. That's what I'm thinking. So I went a little bit different, and I call this poem Needle and Formaldehyde. And it goes like this. Stitching with the needle and formaldehyde, nitty grin skimmed on the lips and gums, limbs pinned from the graveyard swims, parents shallow as the blind man's bellows. Anatoly the artisan, dolls in the dresses and the overalls, plots in the slots, hear the children. Celtic druids, necromancy, dolls with the makeup ectoplasty, chairs and sofa and the oak staircase, paranoid schizophrenia, hospital remains. Poem.
Wow, now that's brilliant, JCA. I love how you put that in there. I love the druids. I love the ending, hospital remains. Your phrasing is really good. You go all the way back into his, you know, the darkness. You go way deeper than I did with the whole darkness and, you know, watching him kind of fall apart into that dive into the depth of where he might be, which I don't think any of us can really go there, but you were very close. Kind of brilliant. Wayne, what did you think?
I thought it was a good way to look at the guy in kind of a different aspect from what he did more than how they treat him and what he from his mind instead of being just talking about the people and stuff. He did a good job at the point. I enjoyed all the time. Good job, Ray.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Hatter.
Yeah, the stitching with the needle and formaldehyde. What a great line to start.
Yeah.
The druid mentioned. Now, I didn't remember that in the story. He was fascinated with the druid ceremonial life and death.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that what it was?
The Celtics, yep. That was one of the things where they believed that if you laid on top of the grave, you could hear the voices of the dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Very, very well done. Very well done.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
Okay,
thank
did I get
you.
Everybody?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good.
And it's time for Deb, and then what I will do after this is I will go into next week's show after we comment for Deb, and then we will go over the last – then we will play a little wonderful thing that Wayne has sent us before we go into the final two stories. But Deb's poem is on the board.
Okay. Let me get there. Oh, here. Groups, team of voices. Team of voices. All right. Let me get down there. Whoops. necropolitist, that's a great word. The necropolitist speaks 13 languages. All right. Russian's body snatcher steals corpses, digging them up in the local cemeteries after sleeping in the coffin for one night, then drinking rainwater off the bodies. The grave digger snaps photographs and stole plaques off gravestones, too. His doll stayed dressed in burial clothes, music boxes embedded, and sat in view. He put makeup onto his doll collection, stealing kisses after the children died. Once he's busted for grave robbing, 29 girls are found mummified. End quote.
Oh, that last line was great. He came up with the word necropolist. That's how he described himself. Okay.
Nice.
And that's because he was they said he was an expert at one of the cemeteries, so they called him a necropolist. And ultimately this is a spin off of his just desire to be obsessed with death and resurrection, and through ideas of the different cultures that he studied. And I think that Deb did a brilliant job of grabbing a hold of that. Wayne, what did you think about that version
of
Anarchoid?
Deb did a good job on that point. I like it a whole lot. She kind of pinpointed it. So I enjoyed it. I'm not able to see the screen, so I'm kind of going by ear. So it sounded good to me.
No problem. And that's what we'll be going by, is by ear, after we do your song. So, Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad somebody mentioned that he was so sick that he put music boxes in the chests of the girls and the ladies. Just over the top, you know.
Yeah.
Music boxes in their chest cavities.
Hey.
Yeah. But Deb does mention it.
JCA, can I read her author's notes? Because they are pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's let Heather go ahead and finish if he's got any more comments.
Okay.
And then we'll let you do that.
That's it. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. So, Antolio, what's his name? Because I can't say his name right.
Anatoly
Moskov?
Moskvin.
I'm horrible with names. A self-proclaimed expert on ceremonies, he posted a documentary series of his travels. Oh, cemetery. Should have my glasses on. I can't believe I just said that. No, you're great. Don't worry about it. He posted a documentary series of his travels and discoveries entitled Great Walks Around Cemeteries and What the Dead Said. These continue to be published in a weekly newspaper. In 2009, locals began to discover the graves of their loved ones, desecrated, sometimes completely dug up. In 2001, the historian was arrested after the bodies of 29 girls between the ages of 3 and 25 were found mummified in his apartment. I'm never going to say it, guys. Allegedly, he even told the authorities not to bother reburying the girls too deeply, as he will simply unbury them when he is released. Investigators later found music boxes or toys inside the bodies of the dead girls so they could produce sounds when
Moskvin.
You guys are going to teach me something before I'm done with this. There were also personal belongings and clothing inside some of the mummies. One mummy had a piece of her own gravestone with her name scrawled on it inside her body. Another one contained a hospital tag with the date and cause of the girl's death. A dried human heart was found inside the third body. He attributes his obsession with a macabre to a 1979 incident when he was 13 and shared his story in Necrologies.
Ologies.
A weekly publication dedicated to cemeteries and obituaries, to which he was an avid contributor. In his last article for publication, dated October 26, 2011, divulged how a group of men in black suits stopped him on the way home from school. They were en route to the funeral of an 11-year-old, Natasha Petrova, and dragged young Anatoly along to her coffin, where they forced him to kiss the girl's corpse. Anatoly Moskin wrote, "I kissed her once, then again and again. The girl's grieving mother then put a wedding ring on Anatoly's finger and a wedding ring on her dead daughter's finger." Anatoly Moskin, interested in the corpse kissing incident, never abated. He began to wander through cemeteries as a schoolboy. In court, Moskin confessed to 44 counts of abusing graves and dead bodies. He said to the victim's parents, "You abandoned your girls. I brought them home and warmed them up." That's sick, sick mind.
Jesus. He was. And with that little thing, I'm going to let you, why don't you make a comment on, first of all, Deb's poem.
Oh, Deb's poem was excellent. I mean, it's just creepy enough that you want to go, ooh, and fascinating enough you want to go, what? And that's what I love about it, because it's got the creep and the curiosity all wrapped up in one. So, brilliant, right?
All right, and with that, let me tell you what we're going to be doing for the next show. We are going to look at the IQs of some genius serial killers.
The IQ of genius serial killers. That ought to be a fun show.
It will be. It's going to feature five serial killers. Edward Cole. He had an IQ of 152.
Wow.
Edmund Kemper had an IQ of 145. Rodney Alcala had an IQ of 170.
Wow, 170.
And
that's crazy.
And then probably the two most known names in the group, Ted Bundy, IQ of 136. And Jeffrey Dahmer, IQ of 144.
Jeffrey Dahmer's IQ was 144.
So what we will be doing is we will be looking into the genius mind of a madman and looking at those five people and looking at it in a different light on trying to understand kind of what their motives were. We're not going to necessarily look into their crimes themselves, but we're going to be looking into how they justified their crimes, how they thought about crimes, what they did to accomplish their crimes. It'll be something that no one has ever seen before, and no one ever talked about how this works in a mind of a genius. But I think we can go ahead and grasp some ideas of this and really, really take a deep look into these people. And maybe when we're done, we will see them in a different light. They're still messed up. They're still evil. But why does someone who is a genius turn to this evil? That's what we're going to look at, that question.
An interesting question to look at.
Yes, I agree with that. When I thought of it, I was like, yes, this Anatoly actually made me think about it because of how smart the guy was. How frickin' he was a genius. I would put them in the genius category, and I wanted to see what where some serial killers mass killers, you know, there's a couple that I won't even, you know, someone like Ted Kaczynski, you know, the Unabomber, he had 167 IQ, but you know, it was a different type of killing and one that I'm not necessarily going to go into. I just want to see whether we can grasp something common in these five people that help us understand a little bit better on their motives and where a human's mind goes wrong. So what we will do now is we will take a little bit of a nice little break. This is Wayne's song. He's going to sing the country.
Yeah, I'm going to put this in here because I thought y'all might need a filler, and it's about the topic of the show. It's about killing, so I thought y'all might like it.
That's fine, Wayne, and I think it's a perfect time for it, and then we'll discuss our last two cases, and then we'll call it a night. So
right.
Let's hear a nice little country song by Wayne, My Girlfriend Is Gone. Here we go.
This here song is called My Girlfriend Is Gone by Wayne Jennings. Well, I got up early Christmas morn. My emotions had already been torn. Just wanted to have a nice Christmas day, but my girl wouldn't have it that way. No, my girlfriend wouldn't have it that way. My girlfriend wouldn't have it that way. And I didn't know what I should say. She said she didn't love me anymore. Told me I should get out of the door. I decided I would get up and leave. Then my girlfriend grabbed my sleeve. Yes, my girlfriend grabbed my sleeve. My girlfriend grabbed my sleeve. So I thought I would make her believe. I yelled at her to let go of my arm. There was no sense in causing harm. She screamed, I wish you were dead. So I hit her in the forehead instead. I hit her in the forehead instead. Oh, I hit her in the forehead instead. Now my girlfriend is dead. I didn't have a clue what to do. So I got a knife and cut her body in two. Stuffed her body in a burnt up sack. Then I dragged the sack out back. I dragged the sack out back. I dragged the sack out back. Almost gave me a heart attack. Almost a heart attack. I'd sit down out back to smoke a cig and talk to my prize-winning pig. Got a shovel to dig a hole in ground and pray she's never found. Yeah, I pray she's never found. You know, I pray she's never found. My girlfriend is down in the ground, down in the ground.
Yeehaw! Oh, Wayne. This is perfect. That's perfect, actually. It's a nice little break from everything, and I like the way that went. I do. I really do. You did an amazing job. You know, it's got your little dark humor to it and everything to it. I love it. I love it. You did great. Sweet. I'm kind of in shock right now. What do you think?
You know, that's not quite as much of a violent kill as he did me. So, you know, a little whack on the head here and there. It's a little more gentle than me. I mean, I've watched Wayne kill a few people, so that's more of his gentle kills. So he must have loved her. Must have loved that one very much, didn't you, Wayne?
Yes, I did. Can y'all hear me? My phone went black. I can't even fucking hear y'all now. Y'all can hear me or not? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah,
I can
hear
you.
Okay, so good.
Loud and clear.
Cool.
Hatter. Hatter, what'd you think?
It reminded me of Maxwell Silverhammer. Came down on her head. Maxwell Silverhammer. She was dead, yeah. You're a sick man, Wayne.
Yes, I am.
It reminded me of the song I used to love her. I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
I didn't mean to kill her before she died.
Yep. All right. That was a great little breakup and our nice little halftime show there. And we're right now going to go to the very interesting case of Michelle Suzanne Hadley. What happened was that, let me see, her ex-boyfriend was a U.S. Marshal by the name of Ian Diaz. They had dated from 2013 to 2015 until they broke it off. And Ian went ahead and married Angela Diaz. Now, Angela and Ian were enjoying life, and she became pregnant with twins. When all of a sudden these people started showing up to their door, these young men and everything like that, and they were saying strange things. She was getting strange phone calls and everything like this, and as a U.S. Marshal, he kind of did some investigation and found out there was a bunch of profiles on rape fantasy sites. And they were profiles for his wife, but they said that they were made by his ex-girlfriend. And what happened is one day she came home, her clothes all rough. She said she had to fight someone off. And so he went ahead and reported his ex-girlfriend to the cops, and they went and they arrested her. And so they threw her in jail and waiting for an investigation and charged her with the crimes, the harassment and everything like that. And she spent a few months in jail until the police officers who were doing the investigation turned around and looked up all of those profiles. And they found out that the IP addresses associated with the profiles were actually coming from the house of the Diazes, from Angela and Ian Diaz's house and their computers. And the cops realized almost instantly that Ms. Hadley had not made all of those date rape fantasy profiles to harass her and put her and her twins at harm, that she was actually being framed by the Diazes. And almost instantly, Angela Diaz was tried and convicted of, I forget what she was convicted of, but she spent 3 years in jail. And then recently, I think as recent as last year, her Ian Diaz was convicted. And he was convicted after they ended up getting divorced, Ian and Angela. And he was also convicted and sent to jail. But it was a sad state of affairs because it showed how delicate the justice system is, in that one person can really abuse their power. I mean, in the press, Ian went ahead and said that this was the most diabolical use of a computer. He said he had to investigate murderers and gang crime and everything like this, and he said this was the most diabolical use of a computer ever, you know, this plot that he blamed his ex-girlfriend on, that he was actually doing himself. So,
yeah, the only way he got caught was she was put in the hospital, and one of those texts was sent, or one of those posts was sent, or whatever she was doing, the emails. But he didn't know that put herself in the hospital for something, so she couldn't have done it.
Because it was
encrypted or something, because they had the email address that created all the other profiles that were sent, and they didn't have an IP. They didn't have a footprint of the computer, I don't believe, but it just looked like it was her. But
they eventually found the IP address, because I did read somewhere where they did backtrack the IP addresses. So, yeah. Sweet, what'd you think of this little story?
First off, this is diabolical. I mean, why would you go through so much trouble creating all those email accounts, creating all of this? What a vicious human being. What did this person ever do? I don't understand. What does a person do to deserve something like that? Or what kind of person? I mean, you have to be literally psychotic to do this to another human being, to hurt them so much or want to hurt them so much, to literally ruin everything about them, their reputation, their feelings, their everything. I mean, I don't think anybody, I can't even imagine somebody being that cruel to someone where they create emails, they create false documents, they create all of this. I mean, what did they want? She was already gone. She wasn't in his life. I don't know. I can't comprehend that kind of mind. I really can't. And I'm glad they both got what they deserved. I this is another one that just blows my mind as to what the hell, or why the hell.
My mom had a theory of this. Is the further away human beings, society gets away from church, any church, it doesn't matter, the worse we are as a nation. Also, spirituality in schools that we do no longer teach kids, that void fills with the demons that man has written about and feared from the beginning of time. And it makes sort of sense, because if you have no worth of other people's life or possessions, or that they exist, this kind of thing happens. They don't think you being gone has anything to reflect to anybody. You're just gone, and they benefit.
Yeah, ultimately, they were not quite sure what the motive was, but I like that.
It's the lack of want of knowing or respecting people, respecting somebody else.
And I got to ask Wayne what he thinks about this.
Yeah. I think it just amazes me. These people just amaze me. They go to great lengths just to get in trouble. I mean, they do so much detail work to seem like they put their energy towards something else instead of just trying to get somebody in trouble. And knowing they're going to get in trouble, they got to know they're going to get caught one of these days. I just think these people are ignorant. They just want to, well, like Heather said, they ain't got no spiritual guidance. So they go off the deep end and go crazy. And the evil seeps in. That's what's got to be. It's got to be evil seeping in, because nobody's planning nothing like that for that long period of time and it's caused them much trouble not knowing, not just to go to jail. It makes no sense. They're idiots.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And here's, all right, We're going to go to the – I saved the best for last, folks, because this happened only a few years ago in 2019. So police were investigating the disappearance of Jesus Maria Miranda. He was a 67-year-old man who just absolutely disappeared. And they weren't sure where he was or anything like this, but they were intending to go ahead and investigate his partners and his residence when she goes over to the neighbors, 61-year-old Maria del Carmen Marino Gomez. She takes a box over to the neighbors and says, "You know, the police are going to search my place, but I have this box of sex toys, adult sex toys, that I don't want them to find because I'm embarrassed. Can you hold on to these and just keep them until they get done doing what they're doing, and then you can give them back to me?" So they agreed. They figured, but, you know, they agreed to hold a box of sex toys from a 61-year-old woman while the cops searched her place. Well, after a few days, the neighbors started noticing a smell coming from this box. And when they opened up the box, they decided to finally open up the box. They didn't find sex toys in that box, no. They found a severed head, wrapped up in tinfoil. The head had been boiled, and it was in an attempt to get rid of the smell with the tinfoil. And police instantly arrested Maria del Carmen for the murder of Jesus Maria. So they have not found the body, but they were able to match the dental records to the missing man. But they have an idea where the body is because a neighbor, one of the cleaners of the place she lived in, had the cleaner help remove some very, very large bags and throw them into the rubbish bin. So they believe that's where his body ended up. So this is probably the biggest, believe it or not, there is. It's like, what the heck were they thinking? And Sweet Pea, what do you think about this one?
Well, let me put it this way. I tried very hard to write about this particular subject, but I am Sweet Pea, and I run this show, and I run another Sunday night show, and you give me the words head in a box called sex toys. I kept running into a problem mixing this show with the other show, and it just did not work out for me.
Yeah.
There are just something about, I don't know, there's just something about a woman that I kind of admire who has the audacity and the smartassness to say, I'm going to put the man I'm having sex with who annoyed me enough to kill, but I still kind of like him. So I'm going to mark his nice little mouth in a box called sex toy. I just don't know what she might have been doing with that head before she boiled it and made it all nice and soft for her.
Oh.
There are just so many things that go through my mind about this, and they're all wrong. And I just don't know why. I mean, she could have wrote Fine China. She could have wrote Don't Open Till I Die, but she chose sex toy.
Sex toys.
And that just takes me to a whole level of what the hell was their relationship about? Why did she put sex toy? Why are you not embarrassed to take over a big old box to your neighbor and go, hold on to my sex toys? but you're embarrassed for a cop to find it, which they have seen far worse than a 60-year-old woman's box of sex toys. Just curious.
She said it was a, she said it was the victim's. She told the neighbor it was the victim's.
Did you hear what she said?
I know,
said?
It's still sick.
She said that ultimately she was keeping the head because someone delivered it on her doorstep, and she loved the guy so much that she didn't want to get rid of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Then at least
call
and report it. Hey, I got my boyfriend's head. It was so good, I put him in a box. I called it sex toys. It's just that whole concept that she called the box sex toys. It's his
must have
head.
Been a bucket list thing.
Maybe, but that's what I can't get over. You can label the box anything.
What was the guy's
anything.
Name? Spell it. Spell the guy's name. That's the problem I had with the story that tried to write to it. It's Jesus. What are you doing?
Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
Jesus. And then you add, not only that, you add the Jesus or Jesus, and he is coming again. So I had that in my head. But anyway.
Oh, God.
Let's move on from my opinion.
Wayne, what did you think about this one? This is a Wayne thing.
I think she should. That's a good idea, putting it into sex toys, because she probably wanted with a little head.
Oh my gosh! Yes, you got anything to add, Hatter?
It's a tough one.
No, that's just it's a sick one. It's a sick one, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah. All right.
And that's recently. See, it's a problem.
Yeah, that was
2019.
That was just a few years ago.
You know, my uncle, who I lived with quite a long time on the farm, he had a saying that, and this is going to be totally politically incorrect, so bear with me. He would say, "We didn't allow these kind of people to breed. They took a long walk at a short orchard, or a short walk at a long orchard."
None of these people should be allowed to breed, but insanity is insanity. It just happens. And we don't know which two people produce insane people, because you got to feel sorry for the parents of these crazy people, because I'm quite sure that I did not, none of them knew that they were going to raise these crazy people. I mean, parents love crazy. They love their kids no matter what.
Do you guys remember the name Juan Corona?
Juan Corona,
he was a migrant fruit picker. And he traveled up and down the California coast, and he killed, I think he was charged with 11, but there's a possibility that he had killed many migrant workers, because there was no record of these people, for one thing. Now, it was a summer that I was on the farm. That's the day that the keys came out of the truck. They started locking doors on the farm. They never locked doors before. The keys were always in the vehicle. Just left them there because nobody was going to steal them. But that all changed with Juan Corona in California.
Yeah,
he
killed at least 25 people from in 1971.
Boom. Yep.
So,
crazy people.
With that, I'm going to say we went all the way in two episodes from 1911 to 2019, talking about some of the craziest crimes ever committed in honor of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Right.
And I have thoroughly enjoyed myself these last two shows, and I appreciate everybody who has called in, supported, put poems down, and just quite enjoyed it. It was very unique. And we're going to get a little more serious in a couple of days. I'm going to let everybody make one last comment before we go. Wayne, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I'm saying your shows are pretty nice. I like the historical facts in your show and the weirdness. So it's something nice to listen to at nighttime. So I like your shows. And Heather, what happened to the football game? What's the score?
21-14 Buffalo.
I mean, between
2 minutes
me and you.
Left. Two minute warning.
I'm talking about the Super Bowl between me and you.
Yes, it is.
And Hatter, you got anything you'd like to add?
This group of stories that you gave were the hardest for me to write to. I got to tell you that. Don't know why. I think it was the last one. The last two was the mummified doll maker and the head. It's just like, oh man, freaking right to that.
I'm telling you, it's a Sunday night show.
Yeah, it is.
It's different. It's different, and that's what we're going after. We're going after something that's a little different and make people think a little bit more. And I think, like I said, the next show is going to just absolutely blow people's minds. I'm looking forward to it. Sweet. Anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm kind of laying low for the month of January. Got a couple of shows in February. We'll see what the spring comes. You guys will hear me around hit and miss. Just taking a little break from doing shows. So I'm just hanging out. Don't forget Deb's shows tomorrow. Check that out. It's favorite poems. Sky's got some stuff coming up. It's just going to be an all-around relaxed thing. So I appreciate being helping you out on this show and hanging around. I like the show a lot. So,
all right.
Let's
look forward to the 21st of January. We will be back, and we will be discussing the genius mind of serial killers. So with that, I'm
awesome.
Going to say goodbye. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, one
call.
Other thing.
Thank
one other
for everybody. Okay, go
Wait,
ahead.
Hold on. What
one
do you
thing.
Need?
Tuesday is Hatter Music Box. We're going to go to Motown. So join us at 10, I believe.
My girl. Okay.
Easton. Yep.
Excellent.
We play some good songs.
All right. With that, I am going to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you all for calling. We appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who wrote. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.